Hello, everybody. So great to be with you today. Thanks for working your way through the snowstorm. So glad you arrived safely, and we're praying for those who are still on their way. A couple of announcements today. If you know of anybody who might need a meal, particularly a ham dinner, Jewel has been so gracious to donate more ham meals to us with some side trimmings. And they're available for you to take however many as you want in the courtyard. So if you go in the courtyard from the west side, they're under a tarp, and you can see them there in boxes. And so take a meal or two with all the side trimmings and deliver it to somebody who might benefit from that. We're grateful for our partnership with Jewel. You may have noticed some roping off on the sides and some signs. It's just evidence as yesterday was kind of thawing a little. Our roof is really in trouble. We got major leaks going down the side aisles. So just be cautious, number one, as you work through those areas. Maybe try and avoid them, particularly around communion. Pastor Donald will have a new pattern to give you on how to approach. But another reminder that we need help in raising the funds for that. I think we're a little over 200,000, 210,000-ish. We need a million. Oh, and here comes our Alleluia banner. We need to help Deaconess. You need help? Yeah, you who is in therapy for a shoulder injury. Okay, so we're welcoming the Alleluia banner so that we can say farewell to it. At the end of the service, we're enjoying all the pomp and circumstance of that. All right. Sorry for that little timeout. Also, there's some kit envelopes for you to pick up. They're still open, so you can write a greeting to the student or the military personnel. And if you want, you can put in another gift card and mail it out. Carnations are on sale in Fellowship Hall to support our eighth graders going on their mission trip. I think they're going, are they going to Kentucky again, Pastor? West Virginia. Mountain Mama. Take me home. Country roads. All right, we got to wrap this up here. Lent starts on Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. We have Ash Wednesday services at 1:15 in the afternoon. That's our school chapel. It will kind of be a hybrid of what we'll do at 7 p.m., but we will impose ashes after chapel if you'd rather come at 1:15 on Wednesday. We're having service at 7 p.m., and just note all the schedule of activities in your worship service there. And if you take the train, Pastor Donald and I will be over at the train station Wednesday morning to impose ashes for those who would care to receive them. So thank you for coming today. And why don't we begin our worship as our praise team leads us in our opening song, Holy, 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 Jesus Reigns. Let's stand.
Early in Make our beginning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John, Peter said, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here." But we were not present at that time. Moses put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the glory fading from his face. But now, we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. In the present time, we see our Lord Jesus Christ coming to us in, with, and under the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. Let us hear God's word, respond in words of faith, and join saints and angels in singing the praises of our glorious Savior. Be seated.
Good morning. The first reading is from Exodus 34, verses 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 13, and chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and is read responsively. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, but not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same old veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yet to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," this is the word of the Lord.
Hey, kids, you want to come on up and talk a little bit today about Jesus? Come on up, everybody. Our Grace Space kids are invited to come over, too. We can sit here and chit-chat. We can break away from our fun activities. How are you today?
My name is Sadie.
Hi, Sadie. Hey, buddy, good to see you again. Come on up, everybody. You're going to be right here? You store. Oh, okay. You can come closer. It's okay. Well, if you want to, are you comfortable there? That's fine. You can stay there. Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Good to see you all. Okay, so has any of you guys and girls ever had friends or, like, say, relatives over at your house that stay at your house? Anybody ever have friends at their house or relatives stay at their house that are your age? Yep.
I didn't.
You didn't? Not yet? Well, someday, honey, Sadie, it will happen. Yes, you'll have friends over because you're a lot of fun.
I have cousins.
You have cousins? Okay, maybe someday they'll stay over at your house and you'll play. So when you stay, when they stay over, do you guys have a good time when friends stay over? Yeah, pretty much. Well, when I was growing up, I had cousins that I never met before that lived in California. And when I was a little kid, California seemed like the other side of the world. And they were coming to visit for, I think, a week. And we met, and you know what it's like when you meet somebody the first time? You're like, I don't know, are they nice? Do they like me? Are they fun? And so we kind of tried to avoid each other a little bit. And our moms and dads said, would you guys just play? Stop hanging on us. And any of you guys relate to that? Has that ever happened to you?
I have a mom.
You have a mom? So good. I have a mom, too. This is great. And so,
and I have a Mimi, too.
And you have a Mimi? Is that your grandma?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And a pop-up.
And a pop-up. Yeah, you're blessed. That's great. So, my cousins, it took about like 4 days before we really started doing fun things. And then we were doing a lot of fun things. And guess what happened next? They had to leave. You're right. And what did all the moms and the Mimis and the Papas say? They said, well, you had all week to have fun and you kind of didn't have fun until these last few days. And we said, no, they can't go, they can't go. And they said, we don't want to go, because it was time to say farewell. Is it fun when you have to say goodbye?
No.
Not always. For some people it is, if things don't work out. But in this case, it wasn't a fun thing. We were sad that they had to go. And we were like, don't go, please don't go, don't leave me. And they're like, we don't want to go back home. We love Chicago. Okay, I won't do that anymore. So today, we're going to say farewell to something.
I'm three.
You're three? Yeah, so you're saying goodbye to 2.5, because now you're 3. So you guys see that banner over there that Deaconess Suzanne handed off to me? What's it say on that banner? Yeah, Sam? Alleluia. So alleluia is a celebration phrase that we say when we praise God and praise Jesus. But we're going into the season of Lent, where we kind of think more about our own sinfulness rather than the praise and hallelujah, because Jesus is headed for the cross to suffer and die on the cross. And so what we do is we say goodbye, alleluias. We say farewell to the alleluias, and we can't say or sing alleluias for 6 weeks until Easter, when we can finally say what word? What do we say?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. So on Easter, we're saying hallelujah left and right, man. It's the greatest day ever. Because then we'll bring in the hallelujah banner back. And we'll all be so happy again. But today, we got to say bye-bye. So I need your help at the end of the service today. When Pastor Donald, after he gives the blessing, can you help me carry out that banner? I'll hold the pole with some of you if you could just hold the cloth part and we could walk it out so all the grown-ups could say farewell to the alleluias. Would any of you like to help me with that?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. That is great.
Me.
So you too. Okay. So I'll call you up at the end of church and you come and help me, okay?
Okay.
All right. Let's pray real quick. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for Jesus who loves me. Help me to share that love with other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, children. Head back to Grace Space or back to your spots. Thanks for coming up. See you, Sadie.
We rise for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified, and a cloud overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud, This is my beloved Son, listen to him. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen, until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated for our song of the day.
Divine.
So great to see you, friends, always in worship. It's great to worship with you, with our Lord, and we just thank you, praise team, for just drawing us closer to the presence of Christ. You know, growing up in the 70s, I have to confess I watched a lot of TV. And the things, as I was watching my shows, unfortunately, the things that I remember are all the commercials that would play that are now ingrained in my head, you know. And nowadays they call them vintage commercials. So if you like Google vintage commercials, you'll get an idea of what I'm talking about. But I think it's funny that I remember all of those commercials more than I remember really any Super Bowl commercials where companies pay millions and millions of dollars to capture your attention for 30 to 60 seconds to, you know, sink that into your mind, you know. So I wondered if you remembered any vintage commercials. So maybe if you play along with me today. So there was this little curly-haired boy sitting on a pier fishing, and he said, "My baloney has a first name. It's..." Great, you're right there with me. How about this one? 588-2300. I see you all ordered carpet from Empire. That's very good. Here was an entry from last night, a suggestion. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Yep, Alka-Seltzer. You may need that after my sermon. And one more. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Yeah, people listen. It's funny, all I remember from this past Super Bowl, all the myriad of commercials, is this phrase, dilly dilly. Anybody see that? Dilly dilly. I don't know what it means, but it's kind of fun to say. Apparently Budweiser likes it too. I actually remember the one Budweiser of the frogs. Remember that one, the three frogs? Budweiser. Who could forget that? All right. Well, enough with that, remembering old vintage commercials. But I brought it up, especially the E.F. Hutton one, because I think as I read this text today, I see an E.F. Hutton moment transpiring in front of our eyes where Jesus goes up onto the mountain and he's transfigured. And as he got up to the summit of the high mountain, the gospel writer Mark describes for us, as Pastor Donald read today, that Jesus' clothes became radiant, intensely white as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared with them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking to Jesus. Now, if there ever was a God moment, this is it for Peter and the boys. What is going on here? They're stunned in awe. But Peter's so stunned, he offers to make tents for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, because this seems like heaven, and he doesn't want it to end. You know, "Lord, it's good to be here," is this phrase. Actually, Mark writes that they were terrified. And if you really dig into the original meaning of that word, it comes out to mean that they were really frightened out of their wits. That's what that word means that Mark uses. Well, if that didn't scare them enough, then a huge cloud rolls in and envelops them and overshadows them. And in an E.F. Hutton moment, they hear this voice that says, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." The gospel writer Matthew writes that after this happened, the disciples fell on their faces and were terrified. That terrified is where we get the word phobia. It seems that when God chooses to speak, his words carry a bit more weight than your financial advisor, E.F. Hutton. While the voice of God, the Father, is speaking through a thick cloud, it provides its own significance. And it's important for us, as well as it was for the disciples, to understand what the Father is saying. The Father's telling us to listen to Jesus, point blank. We are to listen to God's own Son, the one he sent to deliver not only a message to us, but to deliver us from our own sinfulness. here stands the Son, arrayed in divine heavenly glory that's not reflected off of him from the Father, but is emitting from within him. Jesus stands on this mountain, showing that he is more than a mere man, but that he is God in the flesh. He's fully God. He's more than a rabbi. He is divine. So if his disciples ever questioned the power of Jesus' words, both the Heavenly Father and Jesus take care of it by enveloping the disciples with the glory of God on this mountain, reminding them of the power of his presence and the power of his words. Spectacular, life-changing event. So, I have three questions. I keep doing this. I say three and I make four. Three questions. Three questions for us to think about in this, from this text. First question is, who are you listening to? You know, we're bombarded by words every day. The average person knows somewhere around, I've read, 15,000 words in their vocabulary. But on average day, the average person hears about 50,000 words a day. And I wonder where within that 50,000 we are actually listening to Jesus. Given the Heavenly Father commands us to listen to him, Jesus, I wonder how this might be challenging to us. What challenges face us each day to listen to Jesus as we hear these 50,000 words? The challenges come in all sorts of ways to communicate nowadays. You know, phone, text, email, social media, all the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Think of all the words that we hear and see and read in those venues. It exponentiates beyond the 50,000. It has to. Let's face it, we're bombarded by all sorts of messages that seek to grab our attention every day. Here's some stats for you. I read that people in the age range of 18 to 24 send and receive roughly 3,800 text messages a month. That's about 128 a day. And so if you ever think that our young ones don't communicate, well, guess again. They are communicating, just in a different way. Email, if you're an email person, you get about 88 emails a day, and you send about 34. So you're getting more than you're sending out. And if you like Twitter, there's 330 million people on Twitter. 330 million. That's up from 175 million in 2010. Now, who's talking on this Twitter sphere? Who's following who? The person who's most followed is Katy Perry, followed by Justin Bieber. They have 108 to 105 million followers, respectively. What are they saying? What is so important about what they're saying? Well, if you're looking for a little bit more substance, maybe you could follow Joyce Meyer or Joel Osteen. They have 1.6 million and 1.2 million followers, respectively. A tenth of Katie and Justin. And if you're really even thinking how we measure up, us pastors, I looked into our accounts. So I don't mean to slight anybody here, but I have 269 followers. Pastor Donald has 265, so he's got to catch up to me. And Pastor Tom has 569 followers. Twitter followers. So together, we only make up 1,000 followers. So I don't know. If you like Facebook, I heard that we capped 2.2 billion monthly users. Every 60 seconds, 510,000 comments are posted. Every 60 seconds, 293,000 statuses are updated and 136,000 1,000 photos are uploaded every minute. Crazy. So who are you listening to these days? Are you listening to Jesus? I haven't even talked about music or TV shows or radio or talk shows or iPods, whatever. My friends, Jesus is saying to us, do you hear me now? Incidentally, that was one of his favorite phrases. He said, those who have ears, let them hear. Even in the Old Testament, the Lord knew how important it is for us to hear and listen. Deuteronomy 6, he says to his people, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and strength. Obviously, hearing the Lord and listening to Jesus is vital to us, which is why the Heavenly Father made this crystal clear command out of the cloud on the mount. And after the Father said this on the mountain, there was no one around Jesus, around the disciples, except Jesus. He helps us to understand who our focus should be. And while I couldn't find any agreeable stats about how many words of Jesus are recorded in Scripture, I saw somewhere like 1,086 or 2,040 something. They can't even agree on it. But it doesn't compare to the billions of words that are out there that are spoken to us on all these channels of communication that I've talked about. It's not the number of words, you see. It's the content. It is the relevancy. It is the power of these words. It is the testimony of these words that we need to shape us and form us to be the people that God intended for us to be. And Jesus' words aren't limited to the red words in the Gospels or even sprinkled throughout the New Testament. They're all over Scripture because the Gospel writer John said that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Christ has been with us through all time and throughout all Scripture. That Word is throughout all Scripture. So who are you listening to? Second question. What is really preventing you from listening to Jesus? Now, we could make the argument, well, I'm bombarded by all these things. Pastor, you said it. That's the barrier. That's why I can't hear Jesus. I understand, but really, why and what is preventing you from listening to Jesus? Oftentimes in our lives, we want to fill our lives up with things that make us feel good or make us feel important. And we don't want to deal with our struggles, our failures, and our faults. How many times have you avoided coming to Jesus with your failures or shortcomings because you're afraid he might judge you? After all, standing in front of a holy and righteous God is kind of a frightening thing, as we see in our reading today between Peter and the fellas. Maybe there's a particular recurring sin in your life that you've already spoken to God about and you've promised him that you would change. But you haven't. And you find yourself in the same precarious position again, looking for a way out, figuring how can you work this out for yourself. And it's during that time, dear friends, that Satan does his work. We got to acknowledge it. It's during this time that Satan speaks loudly and convincingly to us that we are a failure and that God has already judged us so. So we get caught up in the web of lies of Satan, convincing ourselves that the portion of grace that is allotted to us has dried up. And there's no more for us. And we simply don't want to bother him with our problems because, quite honestly, we're ashamed. And Satan would attempt to have you suffer over those sins or that sinfulness and wallow in your shame and your sinfulness, creating a barrier of sin that seems insurmountable, and it keeps you from approaching Christ Jesus or the Heavenly Father. That's really what's preventing you. But the third question is actually a statement that there is freedom from listening to Jesus. All that Satan tries to bind you up and make you suffer, if you do listen to him, you break through that barrier and you find freedom in Christ. As the Apostle Paul reminded us today in the reading from Corinthians, he said that when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. He's talking about the veil of sin is removed. And he went on to say, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Great words. Thank you, Paul. And he goes on to say, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Whew, it's a process. We're being changed. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Wow. That's why I need to listen to Jesus. Holy smokes. Thankfully, Jesus' grace works best at the bottom of the mountain, in the valley of the tears and of shame. That's why he told his disciples not to tell anyone of this as they were going down the mountain. Don't tell of this miraculous event, because Jesus knew he had to suffer for you and me in order to remove that shame that prevents us from listening to him. The pathway to glory is through suffering. And we can't wish it away, our own brokenness. And Jesus didn't wish away the cross. He confronted it, and he met the shame of the cross head on, carrying the weight of our sin upon his shoulders so that the sin would be removed from us by his grace. So true freedom comes from listening to Jesus. When he proclaims to you that you are forgiven, you are loved, you are valued, if you listen to his words and believe him, you are free. For if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. So let's change that E.F. Hutton phrase. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. How about when Jesus talks, those who listen are forgiven and free. In his name, amen. Friends, let's stand and confess our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us pray for the church, the world, and all people in their various needs. We give thanks, Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son to be our Savior. Bless all who proclaim his true glory in going to the cross as the atonement for our sins. Grant that his light may shine through us here in our congregation, wherever people of faith gather around word and sacrament, and through your servants everywhere in their public and private lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord over all, who has placed the world's leaders in power, Give them opportunity and guidance that they may strive for peace among the nations and rededicate themselves to human liberty and justice for their citizens. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Holy Spirit, bless artists and tradespeople, farmers and ranchers, scientists and technicians. Use the gifts you have given them to open our eyes to understand your good creation and share its blessings. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, guide and protect armed forces deployed and police, fire, and first responders at home. Give them courage and compassion so we may all live in peace and dignity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Lord, hear the spoken and silent prayers of those unknown to us, the lonely and forgotten in society, those in broken homes, and all who need nurture, justice, and dignity. Answer them according to your gracious will. Likewise, we pray for those near and dear to us, especially Vern Gunther, Raylan Ruth, Lynn, Evelyn, Vernette, Dolores, Quinn, Katie, Linda, Dick, Marsha, Dan, Bob, and Elena. We also pray for Carla and her family at the passing of her brother-in-law, Greg Laurie. Father, please pour out your love and comfort to Greg's family as they grieve his loss, and continually remind them of your never-ending grace of eternal life. Use us to surround them with your love, that they may know your presence to heal and comfort. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And, O Lord, today we celebrate with all those who are celebrating a birthday. You have been looking after them for all these years in their life. We ask you for your continued blessings and guidance in their life. Today we remember Callista, Tom, Andrew, Alexandria, Eden, Dorothy, Virginia, Megan, Kyle, and Kylie. Heavenly Father, use the word we have heard and the sacrament we shall receive to strengthen the faith and spirit the Spirit has graciously placed within us. Grant us to celebrate the feast, even as we place all these petitions before you, knowing that your answers are better than our prayers. Receive them all for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We continue our worship at this time by gathering our offerings for the mission and ministry of our church and school.
Thank you.
me rise. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we often forget your gracious presence and guiding. We are by nature sinful and unclean, and relying on ourselves, have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By action and inaction, thoughtless words, and failure to profess the faith within us, we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For Jesus' sake, forgive us. Open our eyes to your presence with us each day, and especially as we gather to receive his body and blood, and lead us to walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has sent his Son, who revealed the true nature of his glory, by dying for us and rising to give us new life. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And just a quick announcement, when it comes to communion today, we're going to do it a little bit differently because of the water on the side, but all the wine will be on the piano side, so we'll just funnel you that way as you leave the altar. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." O Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. You may be seated.